On top of that, we like to give an additional gift through Grace Cafe. In 2023, $4,645 was given in addition. So this year, up to the point of closing, it was $1,885. And so that's just an extra every month. You know, it's always nice to find a little extra money coming your way, especially for our missionaries who are overseas a lot of times, a little bonus, a little extra money just to get done what they need to get done. It's just a blessing and an encouragement and strengthens them. And so I just want to encourage you just to be a part of this ministry. It's outward focused. We don't keep a penny of it. It does nothing to serve anything in-house here. It's all going overseas or to ministries that we support. All right. Second thing is Adrian Hampton. Man, I'm going to put him on the spot today. In fact, why don't you come on forward, buddy? Come on, man. Come on. So Adrian, are you leaving this afternoon? This afternoon to go to Bryan College. And I just want us to take a minute as we start our service just to pray over him and bless him as he goes. He has no idea that I'm doing this, so that's why I did it on purpose, so he'd have no choice. But I just want to say about Adrian that what I've seen of him is he's an outstanding friend. He's a hard worker, and he's a great servant. Let me tell you about discussions that have gone on in my house. My wife will say, kids, it's time to help clean up. And the first person to the sink washing the dishes is Adrian. We're like, guys, can you beat Adrian to the sink, please? You shouldn't be letting your guests do this, but he's always the first one there. And so let's just do this. Let's stand together. We're going to open our time in prayer. And let's even get a little Pentecostal, if I can ask you just to stretch out your hand. We want to pray over Adrian. We're going to bless him as he goes. Father, we thank you for Adrian. We thank you for the heart that you've put in him as a servant, as a worker, one who sees the needs and is quick to respond and quick to give himself to the blessing of others, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we release him now, Lord, as he continues his studies. And we ask that you would go before him, keep him safe in his travels. We ask that you would give him great connections with friendships, Father, that you would bring him into a godly fellowship that's hot in their pursuit of you and fulfilling your purposes in his life. God, I ask that this next season, Lord, you would give him greater clarity in his heart and in his ears, Lord, to hear your voice, to follow hard after you, Lord, that who you are would increase exponentially in his life. Father, I pray that you would grow him in the knowledge of you more than anything. And Lord, we bless him and thank you for him and just we release him into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God, help us to understand while we listen to the word this morning. Amen. I forgot that one, but it counts. He takes one-sentence prayers. Those count too. All right? So, as Adrian shared, we're going to end our service today with a couple baptisms. Noah and Cadence Mitchell will be... What's that? What did I say?
Adrian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Angelo. Angelo. Okay. As Angelo shared... Let's pray again for this sermon. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. And as I've already shown, we need help. And so we thank you that you are ever present and always wanting to reveal more of yourself. So Lord, do more than I can do on my best day here, Lord. And we completely rely on your Spirit's work in our midst. Amen. As Angelo shared, we're going to end our service today with two baptisms. And I've shared before that I grew up in the Southern Baptist tradition, which I actually really appreciate. But for us, and I don't know if it's like this in every Southern Baptist church, this is what it was like for us with baptism. It was a big deal. It's a really big deal. So it was always done on a Sunday night. We'd start with singing a hymn or two, then they would dim the lights. And it was the platform where there's the pulpit, and behind the pulpit was another ascension of the choir, and then behind the choir, lifted up on high, was the baptismal, which is like a giant bathtub. And we had a woman here who grew up as a pastor's kid, and she tells stories about her dad filling up the baptismal so they can play in it. anyway, not on Sundays, but... And there's the baptismal, and then on one side, down from on high, would come the pastor. I remember Pastor Jim. Now, Pastor Jim was a giant. He was a big guy. And he had this old school, like, pompadour, silver hair. Just like big guy with big hair and a big booming voice. And he would come down. And I was thinking about it this past week. Like Revelation 1, as we're talking about, it talks about seeing Jesus, head like hair like wool, long flowing robe down to his feet, and a voice like rushing waters. It was like God himself was coming down into the baptismal to baptize this person. As a kid, it's pretty impressive. And the other person, the person being baptized, would come down from the other side. He'd share his testimony and baptize him. He'd come up, arms lifted like this. And it was a Southern Baptist church, but all of a sudden they got way charismatic, man. Everybody just went nuts, jumping, cheering, clapping, hands in their hands. And I'm like, well, that's quite a show. And that's something that's neat. And they gave their life to Jesus. Okay, but like, what is it? Why is this so exciting? What are we cheering about here? And one of the great things I get to do as a pastor is, you know, for a lot of these things, as a young person growing up in the church, maybe they're trying to say it, and I just never heard it, or maybe it was just never explained to me, but I get to kind of go back and look at these things and say, why do we do this? Why is it so important? Why is it such a big deal that's worth celebrating for? And so that's what I want to do today. So as was shared already, and even as you see in your bulletin, we're in Revelation chapter 6. And beginning in verse 3, it says this, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And so let's just start with baptism. What is baptism? It's actually not a religious word at all. It's what we refer to as a transliteration. It's the English spelling of a Greek word, baptizo. And baptizo, baptize, it's actually used in everyday common things. Like it means to immerse. And so if you had a pot of soup and you wanted to know how to get the soup out of the pot and into your bowl, the instructions would be, well, take a ladle, baptize it into the soup, and then put it in your bowl. Or if you were dyeing cloth, you would take the cloth and you would baptize it in the dye. It was just used every day. It just means immerse. It didn't have the religious connotations that we have with it here. But so one of the reasons why we have a horse trough outside and that we're going to immerse people into water is because that's just simply what the word means. And we have examples from the Bible as well. John the Immerser, John the Baptist. It says that he was immersing at Aenon near Salem because there was plenty of water there. Right? That's a useless piece of information unless the idea is that's the place where they were immersed into the water. Jesus, when the Spirit descends on him as a dove, before this he says he was coming up out of the water. The idea is that he was completely immersed in the water. And many of you know the story from Acts of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, but they went down into the water and Philip immersed him. Philip baptized him. Now I know there's some debate in certain circles about whether it should be immersion or sprinkling's okay. I just want to say there's no reason to be religious or dogmatic about this. I've heard of even people groups that live in the desert where water isn't so abundant, where they'll dig like a trench and they'll line the trench with white cloth. Then the person being immersed or baptized will lay in that trench, they'll wrap them in the cloth, and then just take a little bit of water and just sprinkle it over them. But the imagery is still there. And of course, there are people who physically can't get into the horse trough and lay down. We'll figure something out, but it's important that we understand this idea of immersion because it helps us to understand what has actually transpired as a result of the gospel. And so let me reread this passage from Romans 6. Don't you know that all of us who were immersed into Christ Jesus were immersed into his death? We were therefore buried with him through immersion into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. It's the whole thing, the whole person, the entirety of our lives. See, sometimes we get this idea that identifying as a Christian means that I'm just going to try not to swear so much. I'm going to try not to speed so much. I'm going to try and just live a little bit better than the world. I'll show up on Sundays. I'll show up on Wednesdays, put a little bit of money in the plate, do a few good deeds, and I'm good. But that's not the case. That's actually what Scripture says is, no, you are immersed into the death of Jesus. Completely. Every part of your life. That includes how you spend your money. That includes how we navigate relationships. This is immersed into the death of Jesus. This includes how we spend our time. It is immersed into the death of Jesus. This includes the choices we make in entertainment. We are immersed into the death of Jesus. Jesus, that's why Jesus said, listen, if you want to be my disciple daily, again, today, again, tomorrow, and the day after, daily you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and come follow me. Because it's the whole person, it's the whole thing. As we see these two young people today, the call is to come and die, to lose our life and find it in Jesus. As we see them being immersed into the water, we're seeing the entirety of their body, the entirety of their life being immersed into the death of Jesus. And just like I mentioned before, talking about dye, when dye is immersed, or when cloths are immersed, baptized into dye, they come up different. They come up changed. They come up transformed. Something happens when you immerse yourself, the entirety of your life, into the death of Jesus. Because when you do this, it's Jesus' death, it wasn't an accident. It was an act of obedience. And so when every part, it means every part of my life has to come under the obedience of Jesus. Every part of my life has to be submitted and surrendered to him. Every part of it means that I'm no longer living according to the way I think is best. I'm no longer living according to the way the culture says what is best. I'm living according to what he says is best. I'm living according to his way of doing things because I'm done. I've embraced, I've been immersed in his death. I have taken up his cross. And so for Cadence and Noah, I asked them this question when we met prior to this. I said, are you willing to surrender every part of your life to Jesus as Lord? And they both said, absolutely. They both said, yes. And that's what today, as they're baptized, that's their public declaration that they're saying to the community of believers and those of us here who would say, yes, I as well. I want every part of my life completely surrendered to him. Of course, why would anyone do this? I get to die. Is there what's the benefit in this? Well, Paul goes on. He says, we do this in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified, put to death with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. In the waters of baptism, we've been joined with Christ in his death and have been raised with him into new life. God has only one way of dealing with sin. It's the cross. God has only one remedy for sin. It's you die. It's you separate. You come away from. You put to death the deeds of the flesh. There's no other way to where we just try and sin a little less. It's I'm done with this. I'm cutting this off. I'm leaving this behind. And if you think of sin in the sense of like dirt, somebody's immersed in water. As they come up out of the water, the dirt washes off of them and it stays in the grave. We don't take any of it with us. So here's my story. Now, it's like I said, I grew up in the church. And man, we went to church all the time. Sunday school, Sunday morning service. They didn't have children's church. They didn't invent it yet. So we were in every Sunday morning service. And then Sunday evenings, I had an early discipleship class, and then the Sunday evening service, and then they had Wednesday night prayer group time, and then youth ministry and all that stuff. I went to all the Bible camps. I went to every VBS. I did all the scripture memory, earned all the points. I answered the altar call twice to give my life to Jesus. I was baptized twice to give my life to Jesus. But all of a sudden, and I believe I had no problem in agreeing with what the Word of God said. And they kept talking about this. You're free in Christ. There's power. There's new life. But there was no connection. Like something, I'm recognizing my heart's not right. Like I'm supposed to be something new, but I'm still filled with greed and lust and anger and selfishness and pride. Like if I'm being honest with myself, it's all still here, but you're promising me something brand new. You're promising me freedom and life, and I'm not experiencing it. And so I just got frustrated. Again, maybe they were trying to explain it to me and I just wasn't able to hear it, or maybe it just never got really explained to me well. But I was so frustrated, I just said, you know, I got enough fear of God, enough fear of hell. I'm gonna do what I can to still claim Christ, but man, I'm going after everything I want. As much as I can get and still technically be saved. So they taught me all the scriptures so I knew all the loopholes. Part of that journey, it brought me to a Grateful Dead concert. And I was never a fan of the Grateful Dead. I went because Bob Dylan was opening for them. And if you want to know what Bob Dylan was like, he was awful. I remember standing there being like, this is terrible. Like this sounds much better on the radio. But while I was at this concert, there's vendors all over the place. And I see coolest shirt I've ever seen. It was forest green, and then it was tie-dye, but it wasn't like tie-dye, like color all over the place. The tie-dye looked like barbed wire coming down in a V in the front, and then over the shoulders in a V in the back. Oh, it was so bad. So I bought the shirt. Anyway, fast forward some time. I'm realizing I'm just gone so far, there's no way I can still claim Christ. Continue down this path. Still didn't really want to live for him. Still wanted everything that the world had to offer, but I knew I had to get out of that scene. So I came to Tocoa Falls College, but still didn't really want to live for him. I just knew I needed to be someplace where that lifestyle wasn't being encouraged. But I took my shirt with me, and I had a lot of fun because there were these holy rollers, and the holy rollers would say, Aaron, that's a cool shirt. I'm like, oh, really? I got it at a Grateful Dead concert. And you could see their angst in the moment. This is my sick little game, because in my head I'm thinking, see, you, even you, there's no power to this thing. Even you want something that the world's selling. So some time passed, and like I said, I'm just trying to do the stuff, do what I got to do to get by with God, but still my heart is longing for everything the world was offering. But I know I should probably read the Bible. I remember sitting in my dorm room and just flipping the Bible open. I came to Philippians 3, 10, and 11. And Paul says, I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I might somehow attain the power of the resurrection. And all of a sudden, all the lights went on. All of a sudden, it all made sense. Like, God, this is all I've ever wanted, was to know you and the power of your resurrection. But what's the course? It's through fellowship with his sufferings and being conformed with his death. And I knew everything in me had to die. Everything in me had to go. I had to put it to death. I had to come away from it. I had to separate it to gain the power of the resurrection. And I'd been in religious meetings before. I'd felt convicted, repented, said, God, I'm going to try and do better. I'm going to try not to do so many bad things anymore. I really mean it this time, and it lasted about 10 minutes. But I'm telling you, I got up from that desk not with new willpower. I got up a new creation because I said, God, if you're promising me the power of the resurrection, I'll give you everything. Have it all. That was 29 years ago, and there hasn't been a day where he's disappointed me. There hasn't been a day where he hasn't met me. As I've embraced, as I've chosen to immerse myself in his death, that he has not met me with the power of the resurrection. There's a coming away. There's a separating. I'm done with this. No more. And that's the picture of baptism. We are immersed in his death, and we are raised up with him. And the old life, the old self, it stays dead. I've come away from this. I'm separated. I'm no longer, it's not just I'm coming up clean or a new version of myself. I come up brand new. I come up immersed in his life now. But it doesn't just end there. It's not just a one-moment decision. Because a few years later, I'm changing out clothes from one season to the next, and I pull out my favorite t-shirt. Ever have those moments where God just surprises you? He just shows up. I pull it out of the box. God says, "You're done with this." I said, "You're right. I want nothing. I want no more ties with this." He goes, "Get rid of it." It was a t-shirt. And you know what I found is coming into this newness of life, it's not like one magical moment, one special moment where the anointed guy lays his hands on you and prays for you. It's daily dying, moment by moment, daily coming out of, daily separation, daily crucifixion, daily getting rid of it. This is a public declaration. And as a community, this is what we are called into. That we all have been immersed with Jesus into his death, and we all are coming out of, coming away from, leaving behind sinful ways. And we're committing ourselves publicly to a life of repentance. That's why John the Immerser said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. It's ongoing, it's daily. Every day I've got to leave something behind. Every day the Holy Spirit's going to come and remind me of something and say, hey, we got to get rid of this. That's not who you are anymore. I've raised you up with Christ and given you new life. But you, the only way to get there is we have to embrace his death. And so I've asked Noah and Cadence, are you willing to renounce sin and walk in obedience to God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit? And both of them have said yes. But why is baptism important? Why is it necessary? Jesus says this. It's interesting. At the end of Matthew, right before he leaves, he gives his disciples their mission. He goes, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Like some people think, well, you know, it's not a salvation issue, which I agree with. We're not saved by works. Baptism isn't going to earn you anything with God at all. But if it's just symbolic, if it's just optional, it's odd that Jesus would put this in the top three things that we're supposed to be doing. Like, he didn't just say, hey, have them pray the prayer and then they're good. Yeah, if they get baptized, great. If not, they're going to heaven. It's good. And Jesus just didn't give us something, some sort of ritual to do just to keep us busy. Like, he gave a command because there's blessing in it. Even if we don't totally understand, like, there's other verses, I won't even get into them now, that I've got theologians tied up in knots because they don't know what to do with this because it includes baptism in it, even though we all agree baptism doesn't save you. It's kind of like with the Lord's Supper. Like, on one end of the spectrum, people are like, it's just symbolic. On the other end of the spectrum, there's some groups like, no, it literally becomes the body and blood of Jesus. Paul says, while it is symbolic, he says, there's power in it. There's something going on because some of you, because you've taken of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, you've become sick, and some of you have even died. There is something supernatural happening when we take the Lord's Supper, and there's something supernatural that is going to happen today in Noah and Cadence because they're following the Lord in obedience with baptism. It's a mystery, and that's okay, even if we can't explain it all. We do this by faith. We're following the Lord because he says it's important. It's significant to him. But if we need more, Peter in his sermon in Acts, he preaches this amazing sermon. Everyone's pierced to the heart. They're like, what do we need to do? He goes, repent and be baptized. Say it with me. Every one of you. Like, nobody said, well, if you feel convicted about it. You know, if the Holy Spirit's moving on your heart to do this. No, though, this is important. Like, he says it with authority. You need to be baptized. You need to repent and be baptized. This is what you need to do to respond rightly to the Lord's calling on your life and your decision to follow him. Paul, when he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus, knocked off his horse, he's blind, and it said that he went 3 days without any food or any water. It says that God says to this man called Ananias, go and pray for Saul. And Ananias shows up and prays for Saul, and immediately something like scales fall from his eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. 3 days, no food, no water. Would baptism be the first thing on your mind? Or give me a sandwich. At least a glass of water. Paul understood, no, I need to be baptized right now before anything else. Then, after taking some food, he regained his strength. And so, if you're thinking, well, I haven't been baptized, but it's all right, it's optional, it's not salvation, you're not living according to what Jesus has placed importance on, nor his disciples, his apostles. Like, you're out of sync with that. And so just as we close, no, baptism is not required for salvation. But let me ask these questions. If you're willing to withhold this from Jesus, how surrendered are you? Are you completely immersed in his death? Have you completely embraced this? Have you completely surrendered your life to him so that you can experience the power of his resurrection? If you're choosing to say, well, I just don't feel comfortable being baptized, it's in front of people, well, what else are you willing to withhold from him? See, it's just a simple step. Anybody can do it. It's not complicated. But it's just the first thing he's asking. Would you follow me in baptism? Will you declare this picture to my brothers? Because see, this is the good thing about this being a communal event is that we all get reminded of these truths. We all get reminded that daily, you know what? There's something in Aaron's life that needs to go. There's something in each one of our hearts. There's something, you know what, God, I've been resisting you in this, but I'm remembering the fact that my life is found. I encounter you in greater ways when I choose to take up my cross and follow you. Like I experience a greater measure of your peace, your life, your love, your presence, revelation of who you are because I choose to follow you to your death. And you exchange that with your life. And so, no, it's not a salvation issue, but man, what are we missing out on? Because of one little thing? Sometimes it's good to have this argument in your head. Is it the devil that's trying to get me to not be baptized? Is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it myself? Most likely it's the enemy that's trying to keep you from something. More of the eternal life that he purchased for you at the cross. And so, lastly, I ask Noah and Cadence, are you willing to obey Jesus by following him in baptism? And they both said, absolutely, yes. So I asked them, I said, would you be willing just to, you can write this down, you can read it, but to come forward and share, and I'm going to invite them now. I don't see that, where are they at? Cadence. See, that's how you get her attention. And where's Noah at? He's in class. Okay, well, he'll be coming here in just a moment. I just wanted them to come up and just share just briefly and just finish the sentence of I'm getting baptized today because. So. Yeah, I'll wait just a minute. So. What's that? Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. Let's have the worship team come forward as well. We'll have them share. The worship team will lead us in song while they're getting ready. But outside, if you go out these doors and just to the right in the corner of the building, we have a horse trough, and we're going to baptize them outside. And we'd love to have all of you join us there for that. Here we are. Come on, everybody. All right, Cadence, you want to go first?
I want to be baptized because I have sinned in my life. closer to Jesus than I was before.
Amen. Amen. You two can go ahead and change. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two young people and their desire to follow you and know you and walk in greater intimacy with you and to follow you wholeheartedly. And Jesus, we thank you for your word and your spirit who reminds us all the time of the things that you've said. And we thank you for this time today just to once again turn our minds to what it means to follow you. And Lord, today, just for whatever areas in our lives that is yet to be yielded to you, Lord, we lift it up to you and again ask you for grace and help to not lean on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own righteousness, but to fully lean on the grace you provide through your Spirit, to embrace the cross and to follow you daily. And we ask that you would increase, Lord, the measure of this grace in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.